as we look to the future and look at the church. And the church is us. We've been singing about that. We've been talking about that. But the church, universal, is every believer that has been have placed their faith and trust in Christ since Pentecost, when Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. And the church is unique. The church is important. And the church is us. Bill Hybels said that the church is the hope of tomorrow. And it is. That we need to reach out. We need to be the ones that share the good news with this world around us. And so as we think of this and the part that we play, we're all part of this as we reveal the glory. The church is God's vehicle to disseminate the good news of the gospel. As we study the doctrine of the church, we see how important it is for the church to understand the things that are written in the book of Ephesians. Now, the whole Bible, of course, but specifically the book of Ephesians, as it talks about the church. And as we talk about the church review here a little bit, we talked about the inclusion of the Gentiles into the body of Christ, which is the church, to reveal the glory of this entity that we call the church. We talked about the unity between the Jews and the Gentiles and how they both came into the body of Christ on equal standing. They were included. For three weeks, we talked about how important our Christian lifestyles are because we are the church. Now, people say, oh, the church this, the church that. Well, really, they're talking about us. We are the church. We are the ones that God has chosen to disseminate the good news of the gospel. Then last week, we looked at our family relationships. All this in the book of Ephesians, or the letter, I should say, the letter of Ephesians. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to be looking at some of the commands that the Apostle Paul gives in chapter 6, because he gives some very forceful commands that we're going to look at here this morning, and he warns us about the spiritual battles that lie before us. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're facing one of those battles in your own life. Maybe an issue, maybe a problem, however you want to label it. But maybe there's something in your life that you are facing right now. Might be physical, might be medical, might be emotional, might be spiritual, might be financial, might be marital. Something that we are facing today that we need to give over to God. That's what he's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll begin our reading at verse 10. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. As we look at this passage and we're looking at commands, and I'm going to point some of them out, but this is just full of commands that he gives. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." In this section, this paragraph, we have two very strong commands. The first is to be strong. Be strong. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. In the language in which this was written, it is a command, not an option. When we're talking about the whole motif of warfare here and the armor we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes and the warfare that we're involved in, as soldiers, if you've been in the military, you know that if someone gives an order, if your superior gives you an order, you carry it out. You don't have the option as the private telling the captain or the general, wait a minute, I think we ought to do something else. You don't have that option. You're given a command. You must do it. And so he says, be strong. Be strong. And also the action in this verb is continual. It's not just you need to be strong once in a while. It is a continuous thing. So he commands us, be strong. And thinking about the whole context here in this entity we call spiritual warfare, he's saying, be strong. You have to be strong all the time. There's no let up. There's no downtime. We all have to be on the alert, which he talks about here, because Satan and his allies do not rest, and neither can we. But as we look at this passage, we see that we do not fight these battles on our own. Look at the second part of verse 10. We fight them in the Lord and in His strength, in the strength of His might, His power, His authority, His resources. This is the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves. Now, how do we fight them? How do we fight these spiritual battles? We fight them by exercising our spiritual gifts, our spiritual habits, studying the Word of God, knowing what the Bible says about issues, relies upon the Spirit of God. If we're a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We need to rely upon Him. Our spirit needs to yield to His spirit. Prayer, the spiritual habit of prayer, the spiritual habit of worship, fellowship, all these things come into play in the preparation for what Paul is trying to say here as he closes out this letter in regards to the church. He says, look, all these things I said are true. Now we need to come down to this fact that what we are involved in here is spiritual. Never do we go into the battle on our own strength. Never. That's the first command. The second command here is to put on the full armor of God. Now, when he says put on here, there's this sense of urgency. It's like prior to the raging battle that's going to come, we need to be prepared. Put on the armor. You don't wait till the enemy's sitting outside the camp and say, oh, I guess I better arm up. Guess I better get ready for them. No, you need to be ready all the time. Be strong continually. Put on the full armor of God, a sense of urgency. Being prepared is so important in the spiritual realm. And we do the same thing in our lives, right? When you go on vacation, don't you prepare? You get your map out or your GPS. You figure out how long it's going to take you to get there, what you're going to need along the way, what clothes you want to take. You're going south, you need winter clothes in the south? No, so you do all that preparation, right? So if you go on a trip, you do the same thing. All these kind of preparations that we do. The same thing Paul's saying here looks is put on the full armor of God. A complete array of offensive and defensive weapons. He gives us the details to us later in verses 14 through 17, which we're going to talk about. But notice what he says here. He gives us the purpose for putting on this armor. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm. Again, we're following this military motif here. If you follow along all what we're saying here, he says, look, you need to be strong, continually be strong. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take up your positions. Again, if you guys or gals were in the military, you could have been stationed at a guard post. You might be guarding the door to the dorm. You might be guarding the perimeter. And what he's saying here is you need to be strong. You need to be prepared. You need to put on the armor. You need to stand the perimeter. Stand guard. That's what he means here in verses 10 and 11. Stand firm. Hold your position. Because there is an enemy out there. That enemy is the attacker. His name is the devil. And that's what's listed here. The schemes of the devil. The word devil is the word diabolos, which is we get our English word diabolical from. The word devil means to throw accusations toward. Slanderer, Satan, Jesus, not Jesus. Satan, the devil, is a slanderer. He wants to say things about us. He wants to put us down. He wants people to think wrong things about us or bad things. He throws accusations. He's an accuser. And I wonder how active Satan could be in our lives today. Has Satan ever thrown an accusation at you? Has he ever thrown the accusation that make you believe that you're no good? Has he ever thrown the accusation at you that God really doesn't care about you? That he doesn't have your best interests at heart? That you are beyond his forgiveness? You see, that's the devil. Diabolos, the one who throws accusations out. How does he do this? The attacks are described here as schemes. His schemes to work methodically. He has a system. He looks for that little crack in our armor, in our life. Excuse me. He looks for that little crack in our armor he's able to infiltrate. He says, look, I got him. And he cracks that wide open. The police call this the MO, the method of operation. This is how he does it. And the devil is a master. He is a master at casting doubt and instilling fear into our lives. Because once he finds what that little thing is, he can capitalize on it and make it bigger and bigger and bigger until it overwhelms us. And our lifestyle that we talked about for 3 weeks is down the tubes. That's part of his schemes here. His goal is to disarm us, to discourage us, and destroy us. That's his goal. Now, if we belong to Christ, we know that he cannot take our salvation away from us. But he can devastate us to the point where we're not effective for God anymore. That's part of his MO, part of his schemes, part of his trickery that he has in his bag of tricks. Because of this, we need to be on the alert. Look at verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? It's not against flesh and blood. The battle is not physical, but spiritual. Our problem is, in our world today, we tend to look at the physical. And we focus on that. And what Paul say here, look, we don't struggle against flesh and blood. The powers of the air, the forces of darkness, all these things are coming against us as the church. And as those forces of evil come against the church, there are going to be things thrown at the church. There are going to be things said about the church. That's you and I. That's all believers. And the slanderer, the attacker, the devil, he's going to throw these things at us. And the world is going to look at us and say, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I don't want to be a part of that. You see, that's what we're up against. This is a spiritual battle. Our enemy is a cosmic enemy. I personally believe that Satan is a fallen archangel. I think before he fell, he was right up there with Michael and Gabriel. But he fell. And he's a powerful, powerful angel. He's called the prince of the power of the air. But it's a struggle. And the struggle here in our text here, we struggle. Some translations use the word wrestle. Wrestle. And what they're talking about here is the close quarters, hand-to-hand combat. We see this in sports and athletics. We see it in the military. How many of you watched Penn State wrestling as they won the national championship, okay? They're in there wrestling. They're grappling. That's what he's talking about here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against cosmic powers. In the military, when you run out of bullets, what do they say? Fix bayonet, right? We're going to hand-to-hand combat here. That's what he's talking about. He's talking not just about the artillery that shoots the shells, you know, 2 or 3 miles. He's talking about face-to-face battle. That's what we're up against. As he writes this letter to the church, and as we take it and then apply it to our lives today, we can see the days coming. They're already here, but they're coming even stronger. When there are cosmic forces lodging themselves against the church. That's why we spent 3 weeks looking at our lifestyle. Our lifestyles and understanding that if we don't convey what Christianity is all about, people are going to get a bad impression or the wrong impression of what Christianity means. And so he says, look, I want you to understand that it is a battle, it is warfare, it is spiritual warfare that we are up against. One of the military strategies that have says this, never underestimate the strength of the enemy. Never underestimate the strength of the enemy. Peter writes about this in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Guess what? That someone is you and me. Paul wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. The devil is not our friend. He is trying to do everything he can to take away the glory of the church. Our job is to expose the glory of the church, the exact opposite. But it's a spiritual warfare that we are in the midst of. And in the days and months ahead, we are going to encounter spiritual battles. In the days and months ahead, we are going to face obstacles or tough decisions as individuals and as a church. And we dare not forget that this is a spiritual battle that we are involved in. We dare not allow Satan to rob us of our joy, to allow him to cause us to forget the joy that we experienced when we came to know Christ as our Savior. Not to allow him to say, "Are you really think you're going to heaven?" You know, we had a tremendous funeral service yesterday, a celebration of life for Helen. And while there were many tears that were shed, there's that celebration of understanding that there is joy knowing that when a Christian dies, they go immediately to be with Jesus in heaven. Don't let Satan rob you of that joy. We dare not allow Satan to cast doubts in our minds of whether God cares, whether it's worth living for Jesus or not. Is it worth going to church? Is it worth living a life that the Bible talks about and illustrates for us? Is it worth it? We dare not allow Satan to divide us. Looking at personal preferences. Looking at, what clothes do you wear? Well, how do you dress? Looking at whether you come to this service or that service. Whether you listen to this kind of music or that kind of music. See, these are minor things that Satan wants to divide us over. And we dare not allow that to happen. We dare not allow Satan to demoralize us nor stymie us, to put us into a position where we're thinking status quo. As long as things are going well, things are going good, I'm satisfied. Folks, we cannot be satisfied, because the minute we start to thinking we're on automatic pilot, that is when Satan says, "Okay, good. They're just going to hover. They're just going to stay there. They're not going to step out. They're not going to take a risk with God. They're not going to do that anymore." And we dare not allow Satan to do that, because there is too much at stake. Too much at stake. That's why the Apostle Paul informs us of some specific pieces of armor, and we're going to look at now, beginning at verse 13. 5 years ago, we spent a whole series on the armor of God. Today, we're going to look at these specific pieces of armor that he gives to us. These are resources. These are the supply tent that we go to when we need help. Verses 13 and 14, speaking of the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. "Therefore," he's saying again, here we go, "commanded, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness." Here's another command. We are commanded to arm ourselves and defend ourselves. Both commands here, take up and stand firm. These are commands, they're not options. There's urgency in these words, because the battle is inevitable and is imminent. We know the battles are going to come. They're already here, but they're going to keep coming. The onslaught is going to keep coming. Don't think that things are going to get better. Things are going to get worse. The Bible teaches that. It's going to get worse. Does that mean we tuck tail and run? Absolutely not. We are to continue to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all peoples. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Who knows when the Lord's coming back. But until that time, we are called to be faithful. So the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. Now this is kind of, the word belt here is like a utility belt. If you've ever had a utility belt, you hang all your stuff on it. In a Roman soldier's outfit, it was the piece that would kind of hold everything together there. Truth is a character of God, a character trait of God. Truth is God's teaching throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God. And so he says, strap this around you. Strap the belt of truth around you to hold everything together. The second piece of armor is called the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, the Roman breastplate, looks something like this, front and back, designed to protect your vital organs from the front and from the back. And what's right inside here? Your heart, right? Where's Satan want to attack? He wants to attack your heart. That's one of the main areas. If he can get your heart, if he can get your heart to be discouraged, he's got you. That's why we wear this breastplate. The word righteousness here is another attribute of Christ. We are to practice righteousness every single day. Every single day. A holy and upright lifestyle in accordance with God's word. Again, referring back to the 3 weeks we spent looking at what it means to be a Christian. Talking about how important a Christian lifestyle is. And we need to protect our hearts from the evil one. The next piece of armor, called the shoes of peace. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, today when you buy shoes, you buy them if they look good, right? Fashion, comfort, usefulness. Well, in Paul's time, they were needed to be used for warfare over all kinds of terrain. You can barely see. You see the spikes there? See the spikes? You can hardly see them on this picture, but we call them cleats. You know, football players use cleats, baseball, they have cleats in their shoes. Because of the Romans at that time, they had to march wherever they went. And so their shoes had to be able to handle the terrain. In the spiritual realm, this verse tells us that we are to lace up our boots. Lace up our boots with stability, with firmness and preparedness. Sure-footedness in our relationship with God. Lace up your boots, your spiritual boots. Be prepared to go when God calls. Again, the whole passage that we're looking at is be strong, be ready, be equipped, because you never know when the battle's going to come. You never know when you've got to stand up for what is right. And peace comes from the eternal security of knowing that we belong to Christ. The fourth piece of armor is called the shield of faith. Verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows or darts of the evil one. Now, again, a Roman shield is usually a 2-foot by 4-foot shield held in the left hand to guard yourself so that most people are right-handed, okay? Or you can switch if you're a lefty. But this is a shield, and again, it's to protect the frontal part. The soldiers would come together. If you ever saw the movie Gladiator, and the fight, and I don't know if you're familiar with that. The soldiers, they came together and put their shields together to protect themselves. The shield of faith. This is the only piece of armor in the list here that explains its purpose. Its purpose is to extinguish, not just divert, not just to deflect, but to extinguish those fiery darts, those fiery arrows, those nasty things that are said about us, the nasty things that are said about the church, the ineffectiveness of the church, the shield of faith. Render them inoperable. The faith here is to overcome the power of sin in the present life, this everyday life. Again, reverting back to our lifestyles in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, says, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. By faith. Faith every day. Not just saving faith, but a faith that continues day after day after day after day. Be strong. Be prepared. Be ready. Be equipped. The last two pieces of armor. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, along with the heart, a person's head is a critical part of the human anatomy. It's the command center, if you will, for what makes us tick, what tells us to go, it tells us what we're to do, when to do it. And so the head also becomes a target of Satan. So the helmet was prepared. Again, it's in a command form here. Take the helmet of salvation. And this word take, the action that it conveys is not just, you know, pick it up. You know, not just you need to take it with you. The idea here is you take it with enthusiasm. You take it and put it on like, okay, I'm ready to go. And you couple that with the word of salvation. Here it says, look, you need to put on this helmet of salvation that you claim to possess enthusiastically. Not grudgingly, not, oh yeah, I guess I have to live the Christian life, you know, and blah, blah, blah. We walk around with like a cloud over our head. That's not what he's saying here. Enthusiastically, you receive salvation, live it. Live it. And this is a place where Satan will try to attack us. He will try to use every means available at his disposal to cause us to doubt our salvation. And this is commonplace. Don't raise your hands, but I would imagine that many of us have at one point in time doubted our salvation. Might be a circumstance that happened. Might have been an event, something. But you know, you just start to question, and Satan will use that to drag us down. And we dare not allow him to do that. We dare not allow him to succeed. And then lastly, the last element of our armor is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit identified here as the Word of God, the Bible. Soldiers of Christ need to study the Word of God. They need to obey the Word of God. They need to defend the Word of God. They need to be able to handle the Word of God. Take the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit along. Paul concludes this, his instructions here, by giving us a battle strategy in verse 18, and that is prayer and alertness. We've been talking about alertness all the way through here this morning, verse 18. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. See, in this verse, it tells us that a soldier needs to take commands. When the orders come down from the top, he needs to be ready. He needs to be prepared. The commander-in-chief is God the Father. Prayer is the link of communication. Prayer is that walkie-talkie, that back and forth from the command post to the soldiers on the field. Vital, vital in combat that you have a communication link. The same thing is true in our spiritual battles. That's why he emphasizes here, prayer is so important, to be in constant communication with the commander. Calling audibles at a moment's notice when something happens and we need to shift gears a little bit. We need to be able to communicate. That's what prayer is all about. Being fully ready, fully equipped. And to do that, we need effective prayer. So, as Paul concludes chapter 6 and we conclude this series, we're talking about revealing the glory of the church. You and I, revealing the glory of the church. The question I want to leave with you here this morning, several. The first is, have you joined the battle? Have you joined the battle? Has there been a time in your life where you have come to a place where you recognize your sinfulness and you've asked God to forgive you, to come into your life and to save you? Have you done that? If you haven't, you're fighting these battles that are out in the world on your own without the assistance of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and prayer, effective prayer. You're not equipped. You don't have the armor of God if you don't belong to the commander-in-chief. Have you made that decision? If you've never made that decision, I would implore you, make that decision today. The second question I have for you, if you have professed faith in Christ, are you equipped for the battle? As we covered these pieces of the armor, of the warfare, offensive and defensive, are your spiritual habits of studying the Word of God, relying upon the Holy Spirit, praying, worshiping, fellowshipping? Are they part of your makeup, your armor to do the spiritual battle? You see, something that we dare not forget, and this is the fact that Satan was defeated at the cross of Calvary. He is a defeated foe, but he still has influence in our world today until Jesus comes back and puts him in his place for all eternity. But until that time, we dare not allow him to drag us down. We dare not allow him to cause us to think that God doesn't care, that we're not worth it, that it's not important to live a life that is pleasing to God, because it is. We can be victorious as we prepare for the battles ahead. We can be victorious as we move forward. And we can be victorious as we transition into a new era. And with that, let's continue to reveal the glory of the church, specifically the glory of Calvary Bible Church, that we can bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray.